Well, we are continuing our study. We have about, I don't know how many more lessons, but we have several more items of furniture to cover after we finish up with the curtains, the laver, the altar, the veil. And I've just been so blessed, not because I've taught this, but because in the teaching of it, the necessity of the study of it. Because if you want to know the Christ of the Old Testament, the Christ of the Old Testament is revealed quite fully in the tabernacle. You look at it as a whole, or you look at it piece by piece, and Christ is revealed to us. You know, our faith is all about Christ. And unfortunately, Christianity as a religion has put Christ as part of the furniture of the house, thinking that he is nothing special. But without Christ, this book would be worthless. Without Christ, the God-man, we would have nothing. And it's so wonderful to study of Christ. And the study of the tabernacle is most definitely a study of the man Christ, of the God Christ. Now we're into the part of the tabernacle concerning the curtains. We've completed our study of the first layer of the four-ply roof of the tabernacle, namely the layer of embroidered linen curtains, that layer which could be seen from the inside of the holy places. You look up and you see the embroidered linen with cherubims. What a marvelous, marvelous sight. You know, I've said before that God is a God of beauty. And how that is revealed in the scenes that we witnessed as we traveled to see the creation of God. And how all that he has done fits together so that he paints a picture of beauty in every direction that you look. Oh, heaven is going to be most beautiful. Our eyes will be filled. We'll never have scenery overload in heaven because we'll focus on Jesus Christ, the Son. So we've completed that layer, and above this first layer, God commanded Moses to make a covering of goat's hair curtains. Now, ladies, if I asked you to make goat's hair curtains, that'd be quite a challenge, wouldn't it? How to connect all the little goat's hairs together to make a curtain. And yet, this was a common thing to use goat's hair, and we don't know much about that anymore because all of this is done for us with great machines and rapid weaving of yarns. We wear clothes that have been woven by machines, and yet in those days there was a method of taking goat's hair and making a yarn out of goat's hair. But God commanded this second layer to be made from this hair in Exodus 26, 7 through 13. And he starts out, God is always authoritative. God does not pussyfoot around with us. He commands us. He has an authoritative word of God. And he starts out, and thou shalt make. It's not a request. It's an order. Moses, thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, 45 feet. And the breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits, 6 feet. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and shall double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edges of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which couples the 2nd. So we have a similar coupling here to that of the linen. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. My, that's detail. God did not leave room for opinions here, but he authoritatively gave Moses detailed instructions for everything about the tabernacle communicates Christ. Now, goat's hair, as is true with other fibers, is woven into a curtain after goat's hair is made into a yarn by a spinning process using a spinning wheel. Have anybody ever used a spinning wheel here? Well, they used to make yarn with spinning wheels. When I was in Norway on the island of Hitra just a few days ago, I went out into the barn and I saw the spinning wheel used by my grandmother. What a sight that was. The spinning wheel was over in the corner. You could tell that it was well used and worn. But I can imagine that she sat at that spinning wheel, or perhaps her mother sat at that spinning wheel and spun wool to make yarn, to make sweaters, to make stockings, to make mittens. Now, how'd you like to do that? I gotta go get some mittens. Well, where's the sheep? Where are the sheep? You gotta start with something. You don't go down to Walmart 100 years ago. You start with the sheep. But this is how goat's hair was taken. They would cut the goat's hair and make a big ball of the goat's hair and comb it fine, and then they would take that and put it into the spinning wheel, and the spinning wheel would twist the fibers. That's how that works. And I saw one spinning wheel where the person didn't have a spinning, or he spun the wheel instead of a treadle. He had it a rope attached around his waist, and as he backed away, the wheel spinned from the pull of the rope. So there's all kinds of ways to get a wheel to spin, but the purpose of the spinning wheel is to twist the fibers. And that's how they took goat's hair and made yarn to make this covering over the tabernacle. So over the 10 curtains of fine linen were placed 11 curtains of goat's hair. Now, this 11 was composed of two groups. Remember, the linen was composed of two groups, 5 and 5. In this case, we have 5 and 6. Now, the 6th one was so that a portion of the curtain could hang over the tabernacle. A little bit different, but similar, with loops and tatches as to the linen curtains. Now, what was the significance? Why did God use goat's hair as the 2nd layer? He didn't flip a coin. He didn't look at some goats and say, now that would make a good covering, but he had a reason for using goat's hair. Now, the goat was one of the animals used in Israel for sacrifice. It was used primarily in connection with a sin offering on the Day of Atonement and the cleansing of the sanctuary. We read of this in Leviticus 5:6. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And Leviticus 9:3, and unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Now the goat was also used in connection with three feasts of Israel. It was used in the feast of the Passover, it was used in the feast of the Pentecost, and used in the feast of Tabernacles. And on the Day of Atonement, two goats were to be taken. One was to be killed for a sin offering. The other was to be preserved alive to be used as the scapegoat. Remember that story in that passage in the Old Testament. In connection with the feast of the Passover, the Israelites were instructed to offer one goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. So it was connected with a sin offering, and that's where this covering in the tabernacle is going. It was used for a sin offering for the common people. We learn of that in Leviticus. It was used as a sin offering for the consecration of the priesthood. It was used as a sin offering for the dedication of the altar and for the sins of ignorance and for each new month. Jesus, of course, continues this simile in the New Testament by giving us a picture of unrepentant sinners in Matthew 25, and he labeled them as goats. Man, we get to be old, we become old goats, don't we? But Jesus pictured the unrepentant sinner as goats. So in this covering of goat's hair, we see the thought of sin and rebellion. So we bring this into the tabernacle. So the curtains speak to us of the fact that Jesus became sin for us, that we might be covered from the wrath of God. You know, we're not appointed unto wrath. Why? Why am I not appointed unto wrath? I have the covering of Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're lost. You have no hope. But many, many years ago, I realized that I was that unrepentant sinner, and I turned to Christ in repentance, and he saved me and covered me from the wrath to come. You know, there's going to be great wrath upon this earth. You can see it building. You can see this earth starting to crumble. You can see the nations in distress. Here you have a place like Norway. My cousin said, this doesn't happen here. We're just a little country of 4.5 million people. You know, there's 18 million people in Florida alone. You could put four Norways in Florida. When I was there in 9/11, during 9/11 in 01, my cousin called me as he heard of the towers being attacked, and he offered words of comfort. How distressing that was to us to be over there in so far from home, so far from our loved ones, concerned about our son who was in New York. He offered words of comfort. And now we're in Norway, and 10 years later, I call him and offer words of comfort. Oh, this doesn't happen here in Norway. We're so isolated. We're just a peaceful little country. Oh, yes, it does. Distress of nations. There's a pall over the world, isn't there? There's a concern over what's taking place in our own country. But Jesus Christ promised us that we're covered by the blood that he willingly shed. But Jesus Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Well, you know, God could have left this world in sin. He left it in sin, and he came and told Noah, I'm going to destroy the world, but he brought out a remnant. Oh, God's so good to us. He chose to reconcile the world unto himself. If he had not done that, we would all be doomed, because we can't do anything. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Can you imagine being a perfect being, abhorring sin, seeing sin as an abomination, and then covering yourself with the sin of the likes of you and me? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, Christ, we are forever and eternally indebted, for we had no hope. There was no covering. There was nothing to keep your wrath from us. But now we have a covering in Christ. Now, the length of these curtains was to be 30 cubits. 30 is the number of the consecration of the priesthood. Each priest had to be 30 years of age before he could minister. Who else was 30 years when he ministered our Christ? Numbers 4:3 says, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. They had a retirement plan at 50. I don't know how long they lived. That's pretty good, huh? It was hard work. Can you imagine ministering to the Jews for 20 years? Gray hair after 20 years? Listening to all the complaints and the murmurings. Don't like this manna. Tired of this manna. But Jesus was 30 years of age when he began his priestly ministry, which consummated with his being offered as the sin offering at Calvary. He was not only the priest, but he was the Lamb. Jesus was consecrated to the Father's will, even to his death on the cross, and therefore he was both priest and he himself the offering for sin. You know, Jesus is all in all. Now, the 11 curtains were to be in two sets, a set of five and a set of six, joined by 50 tatches and loops. That number 50 is important in Scripture. It's the number of liberty, it's the number of freedom, it's the number of Pentecost, it's the number of Jubilee. These tatches were to be made of brass, which is a type of judgment against sin. So brass is linked to the sin offering. All of this speaks together. As God is righteous, sin must always be judged, for the wages of sin is death. Well, you know, I hate that for that to end there. You know, somebody comes up, the wages of sin is death. Oh, isn't there any hope? Isn't there any link to that phrase? Yes, there is. God does not stop there, but he tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful to have that added to that? So in this covering, this goat's hair covering, we find the message of Romans 6:23, the message that Christ and Christ alone is our covering for sin. Now, the third covering of four coverings is a covering of ram's skin dyed red. Linen first, goat's hair next, and now ram's skin dyed red. Exodus 26:14, and thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red. That's the third covering. It's described as a covering. And we know that the ram in Scripture was used as a trespass offering and also for burnt offerings and for peace offerings. The trespass offering was described in Leviticus 5:15. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with the estimation by shekels of... You know, it's so interesting that God required a ram without blemish. You know, that required judgment on the part of the selector of the ram, didn't it? It was so easy to maybe slip one in. You know, I got one that's got a little defect. Maybe I can slip that one in. So it kind of measured the heart. Kind of measured the heart. You know, our day, we say, well, I'll give a little bit to the Lord. I'll keep the best for myself and give him the leftover. It's the same thing. We're supposed to give the ram without blemish in our lives. The burnt offering is described in Leviticus 8:18, and he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And then the peace offering in Leviticus 9:4, also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. The animal was also called the ram of consecration. It spoke of substitution. For it was the ram which was used in the consecration of the priests to minister. Now, remember the first place in the Bible where you meet a ram. Where was that? Anybody remember? Isaac, the sacrifice of Isaac. Remember, Abraham was told to take his son up on the mountain and thereby sacrifice him. God provided a substitute. There was a ram caught in a thicket. So the ram speaks of substitution. Somebody's substituting. Somebody's stepping up. You know, the message goes out to the sinner, and the sinner is called and said, put your head on the block. We're going to cut it off. And somebody steps up and says, I'll put my head on the block in his place. That's a substitute. So we see the first use of the ram as the substitute. And of course, this is prophetic of the Son of God, our beloved Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, who became the substitute to take away the sin of the world. The covering then of ram skins upon the tabernacle reveals Christ as the sacrificial one who was offered to God, as the substitute one who died in our stead, as the consecrated one who was committed to God's will. I do the will of my Father. I must be about my Father's business. You know, we're made in His image. Those words ought to come from our mouths. I must be about God's business. I must do the will of God. If we're consecrated. So this ram's covering is a type of the covering Christ has provided for the church, that we may partake of his nature and spirit. We are to give ourselves to receive him. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we're to be a sacrifice. We're to give our lives for Christ. My, that's a small thing to do for the one who did so much for us, is it not? Oh, it's just a pinhead compared to the vast expanses of the universe as to what he's done for us. Now, these ram skins were to be dyed red, and red, of course, is the color of the sacrificial blood and is identified in the cleansing of sin. Without the shedding of blood, God has declared there is no remission of sins. The ram skins dyed red were the central covering of the tabernacle, pointing to the central figure of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. They are typical of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and his shed blood for our sin. He is our Redeemer. He is that ram of consecration who sold himself out to the will of the Father so that he could save us. In our Lord's first coming, his garments were dyed red in the blood of atonement. But in his second coming, his garments are also dyed red in the blood of his enemies. Oh, the wrath is to come. There will be blood on the hem of Christ. There is a coming, a day when the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will end and vengeance will be poured out upon all the ungodly and the unrepentant. The Bible is clear, does not mince words, does not have soft words for the lost. Isaiah 63, 1 through 3 says this, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why do you have red apparel? What's the red from? And thy garments like him that treads in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. That's our Lord. Is that acceptable to you? Do you see that is coming upon this world? Revelation 19, 11 through 14, and I'll finish here. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. That's our Lord on the white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. No blood on those linens. We'll be white. We'll be clean. We'll be on the white horses. And our leader will be clothed in the drippings of the blood of the wrath that God has carried on a world ripe for his judgment. Now, our righteousness is in Christ. And we look upon that not with sorrow, but with righteousness, knowing that that's right. God's wrath is right. The vineyard is ripe for his harvest. And we look upon that as wonderful because Jesus Christ will be vindicated from his enemies. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to see the picture of him in every part of the tabernacle. We haven't gotten to the badger skins, and we'll skip over that, but the badger skins hide the beauty that is displayed in the holy places from the lost, from the unrepentant sinner. But we who know Christ can see him in the holy places because he reveals to us only his beauty. Lord, bless us now. Bless our pastor as he conducts the service. Give him strength. I know that the leg is weak. But Lord, somehow, some way, when we preach, when we teach, our physical condition goes by the wayside, and we're filled with the Spirit. Bless him, Father, in that, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.